we'll get right to the point. We discussed last week, we finished discussing a little bit about the toldos of Shabbos as a paradigm. I want to say a word about the toldos of Tuma, since it's late. I'm not going to. I mean, it's a really interesting topic. I know that Dov and Arya would want to do it, right? That's what he's here for. But I don't know if anybody else would want to do it. Okay. Anyway, so the what?
I understand the conundrum.
The conundrum.
Yeah,
I hear. See that? That's why you are who you are, because you don't even understand it. That's the madriga. Okay. So the Gemara says, after establishing that when it comes to Shabbos, toldosei markiyotze b'hem, then the Gemara points to the contrast, which is tumah. So on the bottom of the amud here on Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says gabi tumos. On the other hand, when it comes to tumah, there we find the opposite of paradigm. Tnan avos hatumos hasheretz hashichva zera. Now we can turn the page finally. Tmeimes toldoseim lav kiyotze b'hem. When it comes to tumah, the hierarchy of avos and toldos represents clearly a lowering of the intensity of the tumah. Right, you have this toxic spiritual substance. Right, and if you're directly in contact with it, there's one consequence, and if you're a little bit, removed, it dilutes the toxicity, the spiritual toxicity. I don't mean it literally, but you understand what I mean. So that's what you mean by lav kiyotze b'hem. The ilu av metame adam v'kelim, an avatuma is metame adam and kelim, even adam and kelim. In other words, the ilu toldos ochlenu mashkin metame. Adam v'kelim lo metame. And if we're talking about an avat, a rishon l'tuma, rishon l'tuma transmits to ochlim and mashkin, but not to Adam and kelim. So clearly, we're not talking about kiyotze b'hem. Oh. So then the Gemara says, Hochemai, what's the story with Nezikin? And the Gemara says, Amra papa, yeshmem kiyotze b'hem, yeshmem lav kiyotze b'hem. Great, after all that, right? There are some that are and some are not, and then we're going to delve into that in just a minute. What I was going to talk about in terms of Tuma, this is a very, very important Tosis here. On the top, Tosis says, the ilu metame adam, the ilu av metame adam v'kelim. So Tosis begins by saying, v'lo gar sinan adam u'begadim, shaloshon zeh mashma metame adam litame begadim. That's a different story. What I'm interested in is the next part. V'im tomar, Tosis asks, v'harei tmei meis osa kli mateches kiyotzebo, the cherev hareu kecholo, alma yesh mehen kiyotzebahen. What do you mean? There's no tuma. The all tuma, excuse me, is lav kiyotzebahen. It's not true. There's something called cherev kecholo. If you have a kli mateches, the Tosis's view, you have a metal kli, and it comes in contact with a mace, or actually with a person who touched the mace, meaning either with the aviavos hatuma, which is the mace, or the avatuma, meaning an adam shenaga b'mace. So the rule is that cherev harehu kecholo. That object, according to Bali Tosis and most Rishonim, only a metal object. There's one view that says it's only really the cherev, only the murder weapon. That's the Rimi Simpolt, quoted by the Rash in the beginning of Ohalos. But most people think that, we're just talking about an object, Kli. But then there's a major debate among the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, certainly Bali Tosis, the way majority of Rishonim. The opinion is that this only applies to a Kli Matechas, a metal Kli. The Rambam's view, and the Ramban changed his mind, the Ramban has different views, but the Rambam's view, and Rismi Simpont also about this as well, is that even a non-Kli Mateches, we say Cherev Areu Kechol, with the exception of a Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, everybody agrees, we don't say Cherev Kechol. But the idea is that if a metal object, and according to Rambam Udi'ime, even another object, as long as it isn't Cheres, comes in contact with either a mace or with a person who touched a mace, meaning a tmei mace, so then the kli retains the same level, right? It assumes the same status as its source. In other words, literally a sword, but it could be any kli mateches that touches the corpse, right, has the status of abi avos ha-tuma. And if an adam will then touch that kli, he will become an avatuma. Okay, or if a kli cheres, I'm sorry, if a kerev kecholol touches an adam shenaga b'neis, it's based maybe on a different pasuk. At least the Rambam always quotes it. It is based on a different pasuk. The Rambam always quotes it. The Bali Tosfos usually just ignore it. I think that's significant, but that's, I'll explain what I mean in just a second, very quickly. But the point is that even if it's a cherev kecholol that touches the av hatuma of mace, so the cherev kecholol, right, retains the level of tuma of an av hatuma. Okay, that's a special din of cherev kecholol.
Well, what do you have to ask from that man? What's the difference between an av hatuma and avi avos hatuma?
Well, the av hatuma,
In degree of
yeah, I'm saying. An Adam Tmei Meis, who's an Avatuma, correct?
The Meis is the Avi Avos.
Yes. Okay. The Adam Shenaga Batuma is called a Tmei Meis. He's an Avatuma.
Right.
If he he could, what he touches next will be a Rishon Batuma.
And the Avi Avos?
Will be an Avatuma. Right?
Avi Avos touches Mashkim and Kalim?
No, not Mashkim, but anything that can become an Avatoma. So, for example, Adam or a Kli. Uh-huh. Right? But, yeah. So Tosis's question basically is, what do you mean that the world of Tuma doesn't have the paradigm of Toldoseim Kiyotze Bahem? It does. It has Cherev Kechalo. That's Tosis's question. Tosis's answer, Yesh lomar dakati ein osa kiyotze bo, she osa kli mateches ein osa kli mateches acher kiyotze bo. Ah. Kemoshe medaklik rabbeinu tam bereish masisin to olos. Let's say you have a kli mateches, right, that, that touched a mace. Okay? And then another kli mateches touches that kli mateches. Right, so it doesn't retain the same level of tuma. So in that sense, not true. Cherev kecholol, right? In other words, if you had a real, if a cherev kecholol touches a mace, it has the status of an avi avos hatuma. If it touches an adam, it'll make that adam into a tmei mace. Let's say it touches another kli mateches, it'll make it into a tmei mace. But it won't make it into an avi avos hatuma. Right? So it isn't true. That's a Tosis answer.
An avatuma?
I'm sorry?
Well, what would it make it into?
Yeah. Well, if it's an avi avos, it'll make an avatuma.
No. The
clean the cherev kecholol is like an avi avos hatuma, only l'inyan its own status, not l'inyan that it's treated like an avi avos hatuma. Right, vis-a-vis another kli mateches, so to make it an avi avos hatuma.
The
kli cheres
that
comes into it. Not a kli cheres, a kli mateches.
What? A kli mateches. Yeah,
the other kli mateches will be an avatoma. It will be avi avos. So the point is, Tosfos wants to show that there's a discrepancy. The truth is, just very briefly, one could have argued with the Tosfos on two levels. Number one, we could have said that cherev arei kecholol is so good, meaning it's such a powerful idea, that it's not an example of toldoseim kiyotze bazeh bahen. Maybe it's an av in its own right. Right? The truth is, if you look at Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, in the beginning of Kalim, right, the Rambam counts other avos hatuma, among them he counts cherev kecholol. Right? So that's not an example. And the truth is, like we had in Hilchos Shabbos, we're talking last week, right? In Shabbos, there are Avos and Toldos, but according to the Rambam and Rashi, in addition to Avos and Toldos, there's also something called Me'ein Ha'av. Me'ein Ha'av is on a higher level than a Tolda. Right? So maybe Tosfos' question is so good Right? I mean, maybe Cherev Kecholol is such a, a kiyotzibo. It's just not a problem because it's not a tolda. It's enough. Right? Or I'll give you another example. Mishkav Azov. It's a whole topic in its own right. Right? You have a Zav, that's also an avatuma. Right? But the Mishkav of a Zav, meaning the bed of a Zav, also has the ability to create a Rishon Batuma. It's also an avatuma. In other words, Tosis could have asked from there too. Why didn't Tosis ask from Mishkav Azav? Probably because Mishkav Azav is considered an avatuma in its own right, even though it derives from its contact with the Zav. What I'm trying to say is that there are basically most cases of tuma. There's a derogation, right, in the level of contact. We say, oh, this isn't a prime contact, it's a secondary contact. It's a third level contact. And therefore, the first one can do this, the second one can do that, the third one can only do kachim and taros, etc., truma, and so on. Right? But here and there, there are tumos that have either kind of a tremendous level of retention. I call them superconductor tumos. Right? Superconductors are, I don't know if there are any superconductor people in the audience, but superconductor is like this dream, I guess, of conductivity, where you don't lose anything in the process, and then you could have practically free energy. Are we there yet or not yet? We're working on it. Are we still working on it? Or it's a dream? It's one of those dreams that's faded.
It costs a lot of money to work on, so I don't think okay. The government's really
in. I hear. Anyway, so that, in a way, Cherev Kecholol, one perspective on Cherev Kecholol, it's a superconductive tuma, right? In other words, it does, you don't lose, it touches the usually tumos, lose a lot in the contact, right? But not Cherev Kecholol. So it's like a clone, in a way. Or, it's not that at all. It's not it doesn't retain the status or the it's not a chetzashol. It's certainly not a chetzashol tumas meis. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in Nazir, and again in Hilchos Tumas Meis, says, listen, there are things about a meis that are atzmo shel meis, like the dam of a meis or some body parts of the meis, right, have the status of atzmo shel meis, even if they're not the whole body. Cherev Kecholol is not atzmo shel meis. You may be able to retain the tuma level of the meis. It's like a clone. That's what I mean by being like a clone. Or maybe it's not even a clone. It's different, completely different. It's like Mishkav Azav. What's Mishkav Azav? You have a Zav. The Zav is tuma sheyotze al migufo. He himself is tamei. He has this issue. He's issuing this, ziva, which makes him a zav, right? And if he's, if he lies on a bed or the bed of the zav, it's not because the bed of the zav, is contaminated by the ziva. It's a halachic definition, right? Mishkav azav al pidin has a status of its own. It's an independent avatuma generated. This avatuma creates its own avatuma. It's not a contact. It's not a retention of the toxicity of the Zav. It's a new creation. So there's some who explain, I think that's how the Rambam really understands, Cherev Kecholol, meaning the Cherev that touched the Kecholol, it's not that it retains or duplicates or clones, the Tuma. It's just that there's a Chalo, the Halacha, based on understanding the Psukim and Parshas Chukas, we understand the Chalo Cherev or B'meis, that cherev is kecholol, that a kli mateches that touches either an avatum or an aviavosatuma, right, also has that status.
Is it matami bo'ohel?
But for example, very good. But it's not atzmo shel meis, right? Not if it retains, and not if it. So the truth is, there's a huge, huge literature on cherev kecholol. and for the following issues. So, for example, the Rambam seems to be of the opinion that there's no din of legabe masa, as opposed to maga, right? There's no din of karav kachal. The Ramban, in his Perish Al HaTorah, and again in his Perish on Sugi and Bava Basra, but in Perish Al HaTorah and Parshas Chukas, has a very interesting discussion about Tumas Ohel. Right? Whether or not you can be metame cherev kecholol in an ohel, or more to the point, a cherev kecholol in an ohel, right, spreads Tumah. This is also the implicit discussion of Rabbi Chaim Cohen and Rabbeinu Tam and Tosas and Nazir and the Rash in the beginning of Ahalos regarding Tumas Meis. Right, that was part of the discussion. Ein bias asher ein shav meis. So if you think that Kerv Kecholol, you know, applies even to Ohel, and it applies not just in Kli Mateches, so any utensil that was in the Ohel in which anyone ever died, right, would forever be in the status, have the status of Tumas Meis, and it could be Metami anything else, any other home. So basically that was a discussion already in the Bali Tosis, that every home should be Tameid, Kohanim should not be able to live in any home. If you think either, this is what Bali Tosis were discussing, either that Tumas Kohanim is not subject to Cherev Kachala, that's another possibility. Because maybe for Tumas Kohanim and for the Isra of Knitzel Mikdash, it depends on Dvarim Shehanazir Megaleach Aleiah. And maybe Nazir is not Megaleach, and maybe there's no Tumas Kohanim, right, either, right? And maybe there's no Isra Knitzel Mikdash. Some people are Mechalik between those, but there are good reasons to think those three things go together, if you look carefully at the Mishnayos and Nazir and Ahalos and so on. So maybe they don't apply to Cherev Kachal. Another Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Tam, thought mostly that they do. So there's a discussion about Masa, about Ohel, about Knisa LeMikdash, Tumas Kohanim, right? And Giluach Nazir. All these issues. Partly, I mean, for some Rishonim, it's a little easier. For the Rambam, there are Tumos that are part of Chetz HaShomeis. And there are others that have the level of Tumah. It has Kulas and Chumras. It has the level of Tumas Meis. It's a din in Tumas Meis. But it's not Atzmon Shel Meis. It's not Dam. It's not Evarim. It's not a skeleton. Right? So the question is, which dinim, you know, depend on what? What does Tumas Kohanim depend on? What does Bias Mikdash and Tumas Kodshim depend on? You know, what does Ohel and Masa and so on and so forth. And Nazir Begaleach. So these are kind of, once you know some of these issues, this whole Tosis becomes like a very important question. Because it isn't just the Hechatimsi, because there are ways to get out of that. It's true, a Kli Mateches that touches another Kli Mateches doesn't retain, you know, the superconductivity or the, that's true. Is that a reason, is that because of the receiving Kli Mateches, or is that because of the transmitting Kli Mateches? Right? Maybe the care of Kecholol, you know, is Kiyotza Behem in every way. But the care of Kecholol can't transmit to the same exact level to another care of Kecholol. Maybe that's the second one's problem, not the first one's. But maybe the problem is that it's too much of an ob, or the problem is it's not even really a tolda, because it's just a chalos of tumah or the level of tumah. It's not atzmo shomeis, right? So it depends on all of these big topics. Okay, and we're not going to. That's a massive topic. Where to do it properly, you'd have to go into the Rambams, and there are all sorts of steers in the Rambams. Rambam talks about what's mefurish bakra and what's learned out from drashos. This is one of the famous Divrei Sofer of Rambams. How do you handle the Rambams? And also to play the Rambam in Nazir, the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. It's very, very, very complicated topic. Okay. So the Gemara says here that Rapapos are the opinion, the Yeshmem Kiyotzebehem, V'yesh mehen lav kiyotze bahen. And the question is, what does that even mean? So let's just, we'll do one first example in the Gemara. It'll help us understand a little what it means, and we'll also get into the first issue. So the Gemara says as follows. Tan Rabbanan. Gimel avos nemru bishor. There are three avos that apply to shor. Remember that the Mishnah says, the question is whether it means that. I mean, the the Bali Tosis and other, the Rajba actually points out that maybe this isn't an interpretation of the Mishnah, maybe it's a broader statement. But in the Mishnah we do have Arbava Sazikin, right? Hashor, Habor, Hamavev, Haheber. Big question is, what is Maveh? We've already noted that. But what does Shor mean? Right? So some Mefarshim interpret it when the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan Gimel Avos Nem B'Shor, that it's a reference to the Shor in the Mishnah, and others think separate from the Mishnah. But either way, what are the three Avos under the rubric of Shor? Keren, Shein, and Rego. Okay? So the Gemara says, okay, that's a good a place to start as any in trying to figure out what Rav Papa meant when he said Yesh Mehen Kiyotze Be Yesh Mehen Shein Kiyotze Bo. Right? So let's, Gemara says, Keren Minolon. What's the Bokar of Keren? The Gemara says, the Tan Rabbanan Kiyigach. Right? Torah says, Kiyigach Shor Isha Shor Eyu, or something like that. Right? Ein Negicha, the word goring, implies the weapon being a Keren. So Ein Negicha Ala Bekeren. And then the Gemara continues and says, Shenemar Vayaslo Tzidkia Ben Knana Karne Barzel. Pasuk says in Malachim, right, that Tzidki Bekarna ben Knana, right, made Karne Barzel. Vayomer ko amar Hashem be'elet tenagach esarom. So you see the language of Negicha is connected to the language of Keren. Says the Gemara v'omer, moreover, it also says, Pasuk in the end of Devarim, Bechor Sharo Hodarlo, the Karne Re'em Karnav, Bahem Yinagach Hamim. So again, you have Keren and Yinagach. Oh. So the Gemara says, Maiva Omer, like, why do you need the extra Pasuk? Says the Gemara, V'chitema, Divrei Torah, Midivrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan. Maybe we should say that Divrei Torah, Midivrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinan. Meaning, you can't learn out a din Doraisa like Keren, which is a Doraisa category of Nezek. You can't learn that out from Divrei Kabbalah, which is Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So the question is, by the way, there's a huge debate here in the Rishonim, right? And we're not going to go into this right now because it'll get us too far afield. Is it Divrei Kabbalah or Divrei Kivalah? Okay, what does that mean? Divrei Kabbalah, look, what does Rashi say? Did Rashi say anything here? He does, right? Yeah, Nevi'im Uksuvim, that's all he says. Okay. If you look at Tosfos Beit HaPeretz here, so Tosfos Beit HaPeretz has two deos. One is basically very similar to Rashi and Chulin, that Divrei Kabbalah means like Kabbalah, it goes back to Moshe Mi-Sinai, right? I mean, the origins of Nevi'im and Ksuvim are connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, or to Kabbalah. Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Hey, "Va'etne l'cha asluchas ha'eben, a Torah mitzvah, asher kasavti." Right, so asher kasavti elu nevi'im uksuvim. Mikan shekulam nitna l'moshe misina. There are conflicting statements in Chazal, but this is one of them. The Gemara Brachos Daf Hey that Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to nevi'im uksuvim. Not everybody's happy with that. They say, "What does that mean?" V'im Ksuvim came later than Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyways, that's Tosfos Beit HaPeretz says a Divrei Kabbalah means that it's all, you know, it wasn't meant to be revealed yet, historically, but it has its origins also in Moshe Rabbeinu. Fine. Probably based on that Gemara, although they don't quote it. The other Deya in Rabbeinu Peretz is that it's not Divrei Kabbalah. It's Divrei Kivalah. What is Divrei Kivalah? Kivalah means Tochacha, meaning Divrei Musar, chastisement. So that's an interesting way to characterize Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? There are really two perspectives you could take, you know, regarding Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? One is, Chafetz Shel Torah, part of the original canon, you know, it's associated even with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the other is, based on the Gemara Nedarim, Gemara says in the Darim that, you know, Ilu lo chotu Yisrael, something like that, I think that's how it goes. Ilu lo chotu Yisrael, if not for the chait of the Egel, right? Lo nitna ela t'chamisha chumshei Torah bilvad v'sefer Yoshua, or something like that. That's what it says. I mean, I think that's kind of the world, close to the words. Meaning, you would have had Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Yoshua. Why? Mishum shed something like Eretz Yisrael Niskalka on the basis of Yoshua. Meaning, the reason we have Nevi'im and Ksuvim is because Klal Yisrael needed Musar after the Chet HaEgel, Dvrei Kavala. So, of course, the, you know, what I call the Nevi'im Uksuvim maximalists, you know, have a lot of difficulty with that Gemara and Darim. They said, no, it doesn't mean that the content of Nevi'im and Ksuvim wouldn't have been part of Torah. It just meant that, you know, we would have found other ways to convey that information through Torah Shebichtav, through Chamisha Chumshei Torah Beremez itself. And we needed to be more explicit about it all, you know, after Chet HaEgel, but the content is the same, and you have to treat it as, the more Nach minimalists, we'll call them, have a lot of trouble with the Gemara in Brachos, that I mentioned before, that seems to say that, you know, Asher Kasavti Elu Nevi'im Uksuvim Mikan, you know, Shekulam Nitna L'Moshe Misinai. Okay? So, again, it's very parallel to the discussion in the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi in Megillah, that the Rambam and the Ravid discuss in the end of Hilchos Megillah, you know, which is, L'Asid Lavo, there's this view in the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes, that, you know, B'Mos HaMashiach, you know, all of the other Svarim, you know, will be Batel. Maybe with the exception of Esther. That's why it's Yerushalmi and Megillah, right? And the Ravid says, what are you talking about? It doesn't mean Chalila. It doesn't mean that. Because Ein Sefer Asher Ein Bo Limud. We learn halachos from these Svarim. You know, Kinyanim and Dini Avelus and all sorts of Dinim. In addition to everything else we learn from them. So the Ravid says, it's not Yitachein. It's not possible. What the Yerushalmi meant was that there won't be Kriya B'tzibor from the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Okay? And the some of them, Farshim on the Rambam, say, oh yeah, that's what the Rambam meant too. It doesn't sound like that's what the Yerushalmi meant. It certainly doesn't sound like that's what the Rambam meant. But that's how the Ravid reads it. So it's basically the same question, namely, how do you look, according to both perspectives, at Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Right? There are many, many, many other nafkamina, I think, or issues that are connected to it. Yeah?
How about different Musar in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah?
How about?
Different Musar in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah.
What about it?
Different Kabbalah?
No. Why not? No, because that has a status of Torah's Moshe. We treat everything. I mean, that's what the Gemara says in Brachos, that Mishum Taromas Amina. They used to say Seres Hadibros every day after Tefillah, and then they cut it out Mishum Taromas Amina. So there's a debate in the Rishonim. Why? What does that mean? So some of the Rishonim say that it meant that there used to be people who said, I think it's Reb Sajigon says this and the Rambam says this, that that there were people who said the only thing that's really Mipi Agvura, that really comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom, is Aseres Hadibros. And everything else is from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's, you know, considered to be Kfira, to say such a thing. And therefore, you know, they Mishum Taromas Aminim, by emphasizing Aseres Hadibros too much, they were concerned that you were going to feed that perception, and therefore they cut it out of the thing. But Rashi has a different interpretation. Rashi says, no, it doesn't mean, he doesn't say no. But Rashi says, the Taroma Saminim is that people should think that there's a hierarchy within Torah Shebichtav. That there are some parts that are more important, like that Seres Hadibros is more important than the other parts. Even if you concede, in other words, that everything was written by, or everything has the divine imprimatur, right? But is there a hierarchy? That's a much more subtle question. And that's what gets you to the question, should we stand up during the Aseres HaDibros? You know, we shouldn't stand up during it if you don't stand up for anything else. All those kind. That's the Rambam. The Rambam has a famous tshuva in which they asked him, they changed rabbis in Baghdad. Happens sometimes. They said, the new rabbi doesn't like what we're doing, and but this is what we used to do. We always used to do this. So the Ram wrote him back, and he said, just because he used to do it doesn't mean it's right. I'm a doctor, and a lot of people take the wrong medicine. Should we tell them to keep taking the wrong medicine? Ram was pretty sharp. So he said, I'm against everybody who stands up. If you don't stand up for regular Kriyas HaTorah, shouldn't stand up for the Aseres HaDibros either. And he quotes this Gemara in Brachos about Mishum Tarum B'Samina. Our minhag is that we do stand up, so you need to explain that. That's not for now. But the Rav thought it was connected to whether you say Aseres HaDibros B'Tam Elyon or B'Tam Tachton, actually. And if you say B'Tam Elyon, so you don't stand up because of all Chafetz Shel Torah is the same. You just stand up because since you're saying it, the Tam Elyon, what you do is you're reenacting the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. So that's when people stand up. They don't stand up because there's no difference between Yagar Sadusa and Asar Sadibros. Or some Shem Makom or some prosaic comment, or that's all, it's all the same. But here there's an added dimension, and that is that in addition to the Kriyas HaTorah, Bitzibor, there's also a reenactment going on. And that's how he... why am I telling you all this? I'm saying, so, if there are things that are Divrei Musar in Torah, in Torah Shabbat Sam, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it's all, it doesn't matter. That's still all Chefza Shel Torah. That's Torah Smosha. Has its own special stat. But it's interesting to call it Divrei Kivala. In a way, it's a little bit connected to what's going on in this Gemara. This Gemara says, that the reason that you need the second pasuk is because divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina, right? So then the Gemara says, I'll get back to this point. So the Gemara says, the ki tema divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina tashna b'chor shor adar lo. So the Gemara says, v'hai melefu ili milsa b'yalmahu d'negicha b'keren, right? I'll get to the next part of the Gemara in a minute. But the point is, the Gemara says, even if you hold Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, right, there should be a difference between Gilui Milsa and a Limud. What does that mean? What the Gemara means is, Gilui Milsa is a linguistic, it's a linguistic indicator. Now, so you want to know what the word Negicha means. Does Negicha imply Bekeren or not? So even if you hold Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, right? Doesn't mean we can't bring linguistic evidence, does it? Oh, so on the other side of that, let me just mention. So there is a Tosus Harash in the Nida, I think Chav Gimel, which says that it's true we have a klal Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, but that's only when you have a better makar in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But if there's no makar in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, then Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah yalfinan. So what am I trying to say? I'm just trying to point out two opposite directions. The Tosfos Harash in Nida is saying Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah yalfinan sometimes. And the Gemara here is saying, that what? There are people who hold that Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, even Legili Milsa? Even just for linguistic evidence? Oh. So this is an interesting question. It doesn't have to be about the value of Nach. Right? But it is certainly the question, how different, as our view is, that Chamisha Chumshei Torah is Mipi Agvura, right? And Nevi'im and Ksuvim are as Nevuah, and Ruach HaKodesh. What the relationship between Nevuah, Minavim, and Tzuvim, Ruach HaKodesh, that's also an interesting question. But many of the Rishonim accepted this view of the Rimigash, that there's a hierarchy. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Tzuvim. There's Torah's Moshe, Mipi Agvura, there's Nevuah, and then there's something else called Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. I think Reb Chaim wasn't so sure about it, all of that. But anyways, that's the Rimigash says in the Tshuva. The Rambam repeats it, and in the Mor Nevuchim, and many other Rishonim followed suit on that idea. So that's an interesting question in its own right. But the question is, again, all right, there are differences. Are there also, is there also like an overarching, you know, commonality? It all has Kedushas Ksuvim, Kisvei HaKodesh, right? So in terms of Betami Adayim, in terms of, there's a debate whether Dvar Shebichsav, Iyata Rasha Le'omer Nalpeh, whether that applies to Nevi'im and Ksuvim or not. The different views in Bali Tosis in different places. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that whether you call it Divrei Kabbalah or Divrei Kavala, whether you call it the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei or the Gemara in Nadar, right? Whether you think that there are even exceptions to the rule of Divrei Torah Midivrei Kabbalah Yalfinan, right? Or whether that's such a hard and fast rule that it even applies Begili Milsa. Meaning, there seems to, you could distinguish between these arguments, clearly. I'm just pointing out, you know, that there is a broad discussion about the relationship between Torah on the one hand and Nach on the other hand. And in some cases, maybe even to distinguish between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Regarding how much they are like one unit, right? And to what extent they really are, you know, two or three. Yeah?
Why would the Gemara quote the Pasuk from Nach before the Pasuk?
Why did they?
Yeah,
so the Farshim talk about that too. But I mean, why that was a better Pasuk in some respect. It probably has something to do with the continuation.
They both seem that similar, so I would
call right, why not just go with the Chumash one?
Right.
Yeah, so they talk about that. But it probably has something to do with the continuation that we're going to get to in just a second, which is Farshim. So the Gemara says, Ela ma'u desema ki palig rachmana bein tam lemuad hani mili bitlusha. And therefore, Toshma b'chor shoro hadar lo. The Gemara was interested in showing a certain hierarchy. Oh. What is this? So this is a very, we have to discuss this more fully next time. But let me pose the question. I'll just continue reading the Gemara a little bit and then I'll just get back to this question next week. The Gemara has a possibility that we might have thought that Karen, right? And Karen has special dinim, remember. Karen is Palganizka Knasa when it's Tam, right? The first three times that the Karen gores, or its equivalent to damages, right? You only pay half Nezek. And you're Mishalim Bigufo, from the animal itself, not Mino Aliyah, not from the financial resources of the owner, right? So all of these issues, the Gemara thought, we might have thought that the way you draw the line is that's only true if it's Karen Klusha. But Karen, the Chuberes, says the Gemara, Kula, how does it say? Kula Mu'edeshi, meaning you would be chayv immediately Nezek Shalim. Right, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. What is Karen Klusha? After, I mean, this is quite remarkable. I mean, an animal picks up a horn and gores with it. Not the horn that's fastened to the animal. We would have thought that the case of Karen is Karen Klusha. But Karen Mechuberes would be Chayim Nezek Mu'ud Metchila.
Because the Pasuk says, Karne Aim Karov.
Right.
Over there, it's talking about obviously not.
We don't know that it's Karen Mechubar.
Yes, Karni Barza.
The Bechor Shoro.
It was indigenous, you know, a part of the person. He made Karni Barza. So it was a Tulusha situation.
Yeah.
So that's why he didn't want to make an Afamina. If you only had.
Yeah, 100%. No, I'm not having trouble where they got it from in the Psukim. No. I'm past the Psukim already. I gave my, you know, time for the Tanakh. I'm back in the Talmud now. I'm saying, like, legally, the Gemara really thought that the din of Karen is only this bizarre case, like you have this acrobatic shore who can pick up a Karen and is, I don't know, who gores with a detached Karen.
No, but if you didn't have the second pasuk,
I understand. Great.
So all you have is the first pasuk.
Okay. So you would have thought that Karen Mechubar would be. So it raises a question, and that is, number one, so the question all Rishonim were bothered by is, well, how would you know that Karen Mechubar would be Chayiv at all? Never mind that it would be chayiv like a muad.
It would be like,
why is, let me ask you this.
Regal.
Maybe that's the answer. We'll discuss it. But what's the reason typically that Karen Mechubar, regular Karen, is Katsi Nezek? It's Exeris Kasev?
What?
It's Exeris Kasev? What's the normal reason? That we associate. And we'll see if it's right. This is one of the main points of the Sunya. It's so interesting. Why? The Gemara says later on, Daf Tezvav, that there's a debate whether Palganiska Mamona or Palganiska Knot. Just turn there for 1 minute. And you'll see the problem, and then we'll just finish the Shakamatari at least, and we'll go back to next week. Look at the Gemara in Tezvav Medes for a minute. Gemara says this one. Here. So the Gemara says that, one second. Yeah, Omer Aleph, sorry. And then I'll get to this in a second. Itmar Palganiska, you have it? At the halfway mark? Says Omer Aleph? Itmar Palganiska, Rav Papa Mar Mamona. Pay attention, it's Rav Papa, actually. Same Rav Papa's Argamar. Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Mar Knossa. We paskin that Palganiska paying half price in Karen is a Knas. Rav Papa Mar Mamona. We'll get back to all this. Kasavar Stam Shvarim La Becheska Shimur Kaiman. He thinks that Shvarim, even in terms of Negicha, right? We don't assume that they're not going to gore. They're Becheska Shimur, like, you know, that they're under control. Right? Ubedinu Deboy Lishlume Kule. And therefore, fundamentally, one would have thought that when they damage, you know, that it's the responsibility of the owner, and he should pay full price. Right? However, the Torah swooped in, somehow or makil in this case. Doesn't say why this particular case. That's what I think the openings that we have to talk things about, to develop certain things. Since it wasn't, no one warned him about this animal, why do you need to warn him about the animal more than some other animal? Shane and Rego, if we're always concerned, well, there's still a difference, right? Ravuna Brei Rav Yeshua Mar Knossa. This is how we pass it. Why? Kasavar Stam Shvarim Becheska Shimur Kaimi. Meaning, we don't expect a Karen, we don't attack. Correct? Meaning it's Mishuna. Ubedinu Delo L'Shalim Klal. Really, the opposite of what we said a second ago. Really, shouldn't one would have thought that you'd be Pata Lagamri. Rachmana Hudakanse, Keich Delintere Lature, the Torah imposed a knas when you should have been Pater, because they want to encourage you to watch your animal. Then on Amud Beis, this is what I was looking for before, it says, Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Vahashta, the Amris Palganiska Knasa, also in the middle of the page, a little less in the middle of the page. Vahashta, you have it? The Amris Palganiska Knasa, Tesvamud Beis, 15b. Now you see the little vav of the Rambam? Hai kalba da'achla imri, v'shundra da'achla tarnagola, v'shunahu, v'lo magbinam b'babel. Okay? If you have a kalba, right? You have a dog who eats a sheep. Or shunra, a cat that eats a tarnagola. I mean, it's like, it doesn't happen. It's not maisim shemachol yom. Okay, you would, like, you know, it would be on National Geographic or something. Right? So then that's mishuna. And you only pay chatzin nezek. Why is it hashta? Bali Tos, at least Rabbeinu Tam understands everything in a very extreme way here. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you hold palganiska knasa, then that's the law. If you hold palganiska mamona, maybe be pata legamri. Anyway, what the point I'm going to make is as follows. This Gemara thinks that Karen Talush alone is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek? Wow. If you hold Paul Ganiska Knossa, at least, that's shocking. Because Paul Ganiska Knossa typically means that we think that a Karen attack is Mishuna. So where did it go? Where did the Mishuna? Only after this Maskana of the Gemara? Right? I understand about the Pesukim. That's what I'm saying. That's on the legal side. So we have to talk about it. And what is? How does the Gemara, what is it if it's not Karen? It's not Shane Varegel, exactly. You said it's Shane Varegel? Is it Shane Varegel? I said, why would it be Mu'ud Mitrila? Shane Varegel, you said. Is it Shane Varegel? Shane Yeshana La Zeka? Regel is Matsui. This isn't Matsui. It may not be Mishuna, right? Animals don't gore in the same frequency that they clump in the street and they step on things. And there's no Hana La Zeka. Right, when he gores with his, there's no Anorla Ezeka when he takes a gore, when he takes this, you know, detached Karen and somehow, you know, turns it into a weapon, but there's also no Anorla Ezeka when he uses his God-given Karen and attacks with it. Like, so what is it? What's going on here? What is this? So we'll talk about it. Okay, let's just get to the end of the, So the Gemara says, so we have to what that means. So the Gemara says, Toshma, fine, good. Then the Gemara says, told to the Karen Mayhi. Either way, what is told to the Karen? We're trying to figure out Kiyotzeb or not Kiyotzeb ahead. So Karen itself is goring, correct? With a detached horn, with a real horn, fine. What is told? Negifa. What is Negifa? You attack with your body. The animal attacks with its body, right? And the shicha, biting, in a minute the Gemara is going to ask, isn't that Shein? But Shein's eating, that's different than biting, right? Revitza, stomping, which is different than walking. Beita, kicking. I mean, these are all aggressive, attacking modes of the animal. So the Gemara says, Maishna negicha de karele av. In terms of their two psukim, one is kiyigach and the other is kiyigov. They're both psukim. Why is one an av, the other is a tolda? So the Gemara says, "Hi, negifa, negichahi." The negifa of the pasuk is with a horn. The Tanya pasach benegifa v'siim benegicha. Lo melacha zui negifa zui negicha. Okay. Ma'ishno gabi adam d'chsiv kiyigach. Ma'ishno gabi behema d'chsiv kiyigov. Right? When the animal attacks another animal, the Torah uses the expression kiyigov. When it attacks a person, it's kiyigach. So the Gemara explains, Adam disle mazala, siv kiyigach. Right? And me people, it's more difficult to attack them. Therefore, there's more like an even greater emphasis on the kavana of the animal, kiyigach. Behemid leisle mazala, siv kiyigov. Milvsa gavurcha kamashma, nemuad l'adam, have a muad l'behema. Right, if you attack people, you're going to attack animals. We'll see what that means. Mu'ud l'behema lo av mu'ud l'adam. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Neshicha, biting, isn't that told to the Shein? What I mentioned before. That's Shein. The Gemara says, lo, Shein yeshana le'ezeka. And Shein, right, that's why I said, Karen Mechubar isn't postured that it's Shein. Right? Because ain't hana le'ezeka. Revitza b'ita told it to regel he? Says the Gemara, lo. Regel hazeka matsui. Hani ein hazeka matsui. Ella, says the Gemara, okay, fine, these are the avos and this is the toldo. Toldo seyem, lav, kiyotzev, adamra, papa, haya, what is it going on? Ile mahani, meaning Karen and its toldos. Maishna Karen kavanasa lahazika mamon choshim rasan alacha. When it comes to Karen, it is your mamon. I mean, you have bailus over the care, over the animal. Shmirasan alecho, you have the obligation to guard it, right, to watch it, right? And that's why you're chayiv. Haninami. The same is true with Negifa and Beita and Neshicha and Revitza. In all these cases, Kavanasan Lahazik, they're all aggressive, intentional Hazik. Umamon Chashmirasan Alecha. Ella told her the Karen is Kekaren. V'chikomera Papa Shein V'regel. Ah, maybe Shein V'regel are candidates? So we're going to stop here. But what I want to do next week is I want to do two things. Number one, so let me just tell you, Number one, I want to discuss Karen Mechubar and Karen Talush. What did the Gemara really think and what are the implications of that? That's one. Number two, what does the Gemara mean when it says, I know we're a little over time, but since I came a little over time, so. Toldoseim kiyotzev emelav kiyotzev. What does that really mean? So Rashi, in a few places, including here, Ella. See everybody see Divrei Matzel Ella? Towards the top of the page? Elohachi Yitzrich. One second. No. Take that back. Where's the Rashi? Earlier, sorry. Hachamai. Toldos de Shabbos have a ka'avos. Towards the top of the page. The first small line. Hachamai. Toldos de Shabbos have a ka'avos. Toldos de Tumah lo have a ka'avos. Hacha told us to nizakin, my. Mi amrinan told us kiyotzabahem, lo shna av, lo shna talmudim hizuk mishalim, odum alo. Seems like a pretty innocuous Rashi. Yeah? Except Rashi says something very sensational, probably. That is, what does it mean to say toldoseim of nizikim are lav kiyotzabahem? The potter. So imagine, the Gemara is weighing whether or not you have an Avodah Tolda. I mean, what is a Tolda? Like we said about Shabbos. The Tachlis with a different Surah. Meaning you're going to do Neshicha, the animal didn't gore somebody, but it bit somebody. And the question is whether that's Chayv or Pator? Ad Kedei Kach, it might be Pator? So in the Chidushia Griz al Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Niskeimam, he has a very, very, very famous piece that everybody quotes, in which he points out that clearly the Rif and the Rambam did not interpret like Rashi. They did not think that the Gemara was weighing whether toldos are patur or identical. Everybody agrees that toldos should be chayiv. The question is whether toldos are chayiv in exactly the same way that the avos are chayiv. That's how he reads the Rif and the Rambam. Meaning, do they come under the rubric of the av, like told us of Karen are Karen, told us of Shein are Shein, told us of regular reg, with all the dinim that go with it, Karen is chatzinezek, Shein and regular pater b'shus harabim, or maybe there's some sort of a generic Mazik, like the Mishnah says, in which case you'll be chayiv, but you won't be chayiv exactly the same way that the father was chayiv. So, is that really what the Rif and the Rambam are saying? I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about that whole problem. Those two are the issues for the next year. Okay.